Good morning. Turning your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Where was everybody last week? Oh, my goodness. We had a lot of where two or three gathered together times, didn't we? But I'm glad we're here today. If you're our guest, we're very glad you're here. As you can tell, you know, we had sort of double up announcements and family time because we weren't together last week. We have a lot of great stuff going on from young to old, and we appreciate all the opportunities to serve and to make a difference and just to be together. Russ did a great job talking about this I Choose Us marriage workshop, but I really want to encourage you, do not miss this. It's $50 a couple. That's basically lunch. We're subsidizing it, the church, bringing the fixes here. But this is going to be a great time. I want to begin with a little story that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But, you know, you might enjoy it. Anyway, okay. You know, next Sunday's the Super Bowl if you're kind of living some cocoon somewhere. And by the way, where are we next Sunday? Middle school. Amen. All right. There's a man that had 50-yard line tickets for the Super Bowl. He sat down, and another man comes and asks if anyone is seating in the seat next to him. No, the first guy says, that seat's empty. This is incredible, said the other man. Who in their right mind would have a seat like this for the Super Bowl, the biggest sporting event in the world, and not use it? Well, the first guy says, you know, actually, the seat belongs to me. I was supposed to come with my wife, but she passed away. This is the first Super Bowl we haven't been together since we got married in 1967. The guy says, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. Couldn't you find someone else, though, a friend, a relative, even a neighbor, to take the seat? And the first guy shook his head and said, no, they're all at the funeral. Now, if you think that's okay, you really need to go to the marriage workshop. You'll see on the screen where Paul quotes Jesus saying it is more blessed to give than to receive. We are talking today about Jesus and money. Throughout our church, if you're our guest, we're part of 11 groups like this in the metropolitan area. Throughout our whole church, we're talking about it at this time. And we really make no apologies for talking about money. Because as we are talking in New Jersey, our theme for the year, all about Jesus, Jesus had a lot to say about money. And Jesus often connected money with our hearts. Now, if you're a guest for the first time and you're already thinking, see, I knew it. All they want is my money. You brought me here to hear about that. No, but Jesus wants your heart. And our money goes with that. We've sung some great songs of praise to God, haven't we? We've just sung, I give myself away. And that's what it really means to be a Christian, isn't it? I surrender. I surrender to you. And you might ask, why are we talking about this? Because if you look at our little newsletter every week, we have exceeded our budget goal on average, throughout all of 2015, amen, New Jersey region. You look in the newsletter. Now, we didn't give anything last week because nobody was here. And I hope you remember to double up this week. One of the brothers said, you know, I wasn't here even the Sunday before that because of the teen lock-in. I got 3 weeks worth I'm giving today. Amen. We have made our goal. All right, but we'll talk about still while we're talking about this in just a minute. It really is about our hearts. And in what we call 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is talking about what we would call in our church a special contribution, similar to the one we have every year in June. We're collecting money for missions, and they were collecting money to meet some physical needs in Judea. But it really is about our hearts. And as Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 5, he said, they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. That's what we've sung about. I give myself away. When we give ourselves first to the Lord, everything about us follows, doesn't it? You know, I've been around through our region in the last couple of weeks giving kind of a preliminary lesson about money and how God views money. And many of you heard it. And it's interesting. One of the brothers came to me afterwards, very encouraging. But he said, you know, people need to see the need and be inspired by what we're trying to do in our church. And I think there's truth to that. And I wish I had time to tell you about what we are trying to accomplish as a church here in New Jersey and throughout the metropolitan area. Our school of ministry, raising up young people to help be campus ministers and youth and family ministers and someday deacons and elders and Bible talk leaders. And we got a lot of great plans. And you know, in the philanthropic world, when people are trying to raise money for various causes, they want to put out there, here's the need, here's the vision, here's the cause. And that is important. But that's really not what it's about for us. It's really about, where is my heart with God? Have you given yourself away to God? It is about our hearts. A couple of things Paul says here. There we go. I'll catch up with myself. As you know, all this stuff is kind of foreign territory to me still. So, amen. They gave themselves first to the Lord. All right, when you read further in this discourse, Paul says two things. We're not going to really comment on them much except to say, 2 Corinthians 8:24, Paul says, show the men the proof of your love. What does this mean? Do you know what? Every Sunday, as I drop my check in that bucket that goes around, it's saying, God, I love you this much. That's sobering, isn't it? Paul says it is a proof of our love. He's backed up and talked about the cross, what Jesus did for us. He also says it's an indication of our faith. And I encourage you to read this last section in 2 Corinthians 9 and following, where Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow generously, you reap generously. He's talking about what we give financially. And he goes on and says, basically, you can't outgive God. Trust him. He's going to give you everything you need. It is a proof of our faith, indication of our faith. All right, why are we talking about this? As I said, we've met our budget goal throughout the year. Amen. I want you to know, I brag on the New Jersey region all the time for so many, many reasons. We are a group, I believe, who always responds to the need, to the challenge, to the call. But I want to jump ahead to something we're going to talk about in a minute. We found out something pretty astounding about our whole church as we evaluated this, which is kind of prompting the reason we're talking about this throughout the church. I'll get to that in a minute. This budget goal, we've met our budget goal. Amen. Where does the budget goal come from? Good question, huh? It comes from what we give. In other words, we have been giving last year about $24,000 a week. So that is our budget goal for planning purposes and how we spend money as a church. You follow what I'm saying? If you make X amount of money, your budget goal generally shouldn't exceed that, right? That gets us in all kinds of trouble. So we've said this is how much we're giving, so this is our goal. It's kind of whomper-jawed. Because this is what we're giving, so this is our goal. But is this what we should be giving? You follow what I'm saying? So we're giving what we're giving. We're giving our goal because that's what we said we'd give. You got that? All right. Let's change gears a minute. In the Old Testament, how much do people give, basically? Somebody said it. Say it louder. 10%. That was sort of the foundation. 10% of their gross income, crops, everything, they gave to the Lord. Jesus mentions the tithe. He neither really rescinds it or commands it. It's mentioned. Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the tithe that they gave. I do believe where Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. We get into a lot of debates about, well, does the New Testament require that you give 10%? I personally think that's the wrong question. The question is, have I given myself away to Jesus? Do I appreciate what he's done? Let me tell you right now, this is Larry Craig and Mary Lou's Craig's personal opinion. Have we been freed from the Old Testament? Have we been freed by the cross to do less than they were asked to do? I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but that doesn't make sense. All right. Let me ask you this. Again, I personally believe 10% is a floor, not a ceiling. Okay. You may feel like, I can't do that. I have a debt. I have a mortgage. I have commitments. I can't do that. Let me ask this a different way. If you went to work tomorrow, and whoever is the person to tell you this said to you, I need to talk to you. You know, we're having some tough times here. We're reducing your income by 10% starting today. Or maybe when you go to work, you're the boss and you have to say to yourself, I've got to reduce what I take home 10% or we're not going to make it. You got that picture? Would you die? Would you die? Would you die? You know what that means? It's not we can't do it, it's we don't want to do it. Really. All right. All right, Larry. Let's talk about this. I'm telling you, I brag about you. You've heard me do this before. Please stay with me because I think this is one of two things that I think is real revealing today. We give last year, so far this year, an average of about $24,000 a week. There are about 600 of us, $40 a member. I want to say to you, that is one of the highest averages in our whole church. And that's very encouraging for you, for us, in one sense. The regions that do more are the smaller suburban regions that generally where people have higher income. We're just kind of everybody mixed up together all over the north part of New Jersey, aren't we? That's very encouraging. Except, okay, stay with me. If $40 a member represents our represents 10%, if all of us are tithing, that means we make about $400 a week, about $10 an hour. You can see almost $21,000 for a single, $42,000 for a family. Do you think that's our average income in here? Hey, this is new. Look, this is a sensitive area. I understand. And some of you, like some of the campus kids, if I made that much, I think I could. I won the lottery. Bring it on me, Lord. But our campus and teens make up about 10% of our membership. We're glad they're here, but they're not as significant. Amen. You think about that. Let me tell you one more thing interesting. I do, let me just say, I do believe undoubtedly we as a church make more than that. Okay. What that says is, okay, let me back up again. Many of you give more than 10% always for years. Always, always, always. That's the base. Amen. All right. Here's really what's prompted us to talk about this throughout the church. I appreciate Chris Armstrong back there somewhere. He's in New Jersey. He's our deacon for children's ministry, but for our church, he's our controller. And he and the people in the office decided to investigate something. They took a typical Sunday, October 4th, 2015, just an average Sunday. By that I mean there wasn't a campus retreat somewhere, there wasn't an edge retreat somewhere, there wasn't some big combination of services that kind of affects what we do. This was just a typical Sunday. And they looked at how many checks were given, how many people gave by check, not who gave. You know, checks have to be recorded. I mean, for the bank, and there's a deposit slip and all that. So you can easily see how many checks were given. Not even necessarily the amount on the check. How many people gave by check? There are about 600 of us. Now, there's 350 or so of us that are represented. One check represents two people. Like, I don't write a check, and Mary Lee writes a check. I write the check, but it's for both of us. You got that? Okay, but you take just in our group. If we have 600 members, I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to think about, well, about how many checks do you think we would get in a typical Sunday? Let me tell you how many we got. 151. I heard some O's. That's what I thought when I saw that. Wow. That's... if every one of those represented two people, which I know they don't, because I know we got a lot of sacrificial edge people out here, single people. But if every one of those represented two people, that's only half of us. That was very sobering and revealing. Why? I'm not trying to tell you necessarily too much scrutiny on how you do your finances, but here's what I know. Most people, if you give 10%, you don't give by cash. You just don't, because that's a lot of cash. And you can't let the benefit of the IRS deducting off your taxes come into play there. If you give by cash, generally it's kind of what's in your pocket. That's just my feeling about it. You can come up and prove me wrong if you want. Half of us, it says to me, well, and you know what I got to say? This startlingly was true of our whole church. Our whole 2,950 member church had about 700 checks that day. If every one of those represented two people, that's about half our church. I got to say, there was no region that really did much more than that, including us. That was that to the elders is not about money. It's about heart. It's about heart. Have we given ourselves to the Lord? We figured out, you know, again, this wasn't scientific. We'd have to do this week. But this was kind of a good cross-section that the checks averaged about $6 a member. Okay, amen for the teens. Maybe the campus. Whoa. You see why this was kind of revealing? I could be wrong, but I feel like, wow, if we've given ourselves first to the Lord and if we're shooting at 10%, there's a whole bunch more checks that would come in every week. I just want you to think about those two things We're talking about this, and I'm going to give a conclusion, and then we're going to look at a quick story, and we're going to be done. I know I was tempted to do twice as long a sermon because we didn't get to do this last week. But we're not. We've got little commitment sheets. We've done this before. We'll do it today, but you may not be prepared to do it, and that's okay. We'll do it next week. We said earlier we're going to do it today, but we haven't gotten really to talk about it. It's not your name on it. I don't care about your name. I care about your name, but you understand what I'm saying. This is not about that. This is about you and God. You and God. Here's what I'm going to do every week. It's interesting because we did this 3 or 4 years ago, and what we said we were going to do was more than that amount that had been coming in because we stopped and we thought about it. Here's the thing. Here's kind of what we're asking. I'm asking as the ministry leader and one of the elders here. Each of us needs to give regularly and consistently. That is biblical. You keep reading in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 16. Each of us, each part does its work, Paul says. Half people giving by check says there are a lot of you, frankly, who aren't doing your part. And if that makes you squeamish and offensive, I'm sorry, you can talk to me later. But it's Bible and it's heart. And I believe that. Pray, evaluate your situation. Maybe you're fortunate enough to have gotten 4 or 5 raises in the last 3 or 4 years and still are doing what you used to do because you just haven't thought about it. If you know you're not where you ought to be, think about it. Pray about it. We're going to have another finance class. They wanted to do a commercial about it today, and we had so many things going on. They're going to do that next week. We're trying to give each other tools to use what we have wisely and then make a commitment. Look finally with me at Genesis 22, such a very familiar story. I'm going to ask the singers to come on up here because we're going to look at this very quickly. Genesis 22. You know this story. Not about money. It's about heart. Abraham waited 25 years for this boy that was born when he was 100 years old. Mercy, I hope I don't have a child when I'm 100 years old. I don't know if I could go through all that again. But this was his child of promise. And one day God said, I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham got up and he went. And he took the boy and he took the fire and he took the wood. And after a while, Isaac noticed there's something missing here. Dad, where is the lamb? Where's the lamb? I don't think Abraham could even answer that question. But he went. He said, the Lord will provide. And he went. Had Abraham given himself first to the Lord? Yeah. He was a rich man. God made him rich. He gave 10%. You can read about that when he met Melchizedek. He set a legacy. 10% didn't begin with the law of Moses. It began before that. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than our money. It's about our hearts. What we're willing to do for the Lord. And it may be tested. It may be tested by what you and I write every Sunday when we make out that check or when we don't. And then, you know the story. The angel caught his arm as he raised the knife to kill his son. And he said, verse 24, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. We sang this song after we went to San Antonio because it was the theme of that conference, the mountain of the Lord. We're going to sing it. Then we're going to do these pledge things. We're going to see somebody become a Christian. So don't leave during the last song or go get your kids. Sometimes we do. But the principle is God takes care of us. When we are surrendered to Him on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. When you step out on faith, whether it's giving or whatever else, because you belong to God, He will take care of you. Let's stand and sing.